In actual fact, to be honest, I think New Zealand's, I mean, Perth is nice, but New Zealand's nicer anyway. There's no one who was born in Perth here, aren't they? Okay. But anyway, that's why we're away. It was a pretty important family wedding, and Michelle and I had the privilege of attending. I didn't have to do it, so it was really good fun. Not that doing weddings is not fun, but it was just nice to sit and relax. It was great. Anyway, we're back and we're glad to be home. And I was just contemplating that as I was worshiping this morning. Oh, it's just good to be home in church. just to worship. Blessed to be here. Amen. Hey, look, next Sunday night we have a new people's dinner, and it's at 5 p.m. in the hub at the back, and we have dinner together. I talk a little bit just for probably 5 or so minutes and share. And we want to invite you, and particularly if you've never been to a new people's dinner before. If you've never been to one. And you might say, oh, I've been here a little while. No, you're welcome. Please come if you've never been. We'd love to have you and host you that night. Your family as well, come. That'd be great. If you're here and come back to church and you haven't been here a while, you're welcome to come, okay? And the way you can help us is just place your name on the clipboard and on the information desk, and we'll take note of that just so we can, for catering purposes. But we'd love to host you in that. Revolution Youth this Friday night, again, I believe they had a great Friday night. Did you just have a good Friday night? Any youth down here? Yeah? So this Friday, Rev Life is happening here, of course, at Port City, so that's happening as well. By the way, for the new people's dinner, there is little flyers you can gather just to stick it on your fridge. I don't know, stick it somewhere. Stick it on your husband's forehead. You remember it that way, just so you know it's happening. You can grab one of those. I want to talk to you today and just start a new series. And I suppose in my heart, there's just something that was birthed up over a decade ago, several decades ago. And it's amazing how it comes back to just hit you in the heart, and something that God was doing back then, he's still doing. And I remember years ago, I was in a prayer meeting in our church early one morning, when we used to have them in the early morning prayer meeting. And there was this a statement that came into my heart. And you know, sometimes thoughts come from left field that you're not really thinking about that, but they come into your mind. I've probably had about a dozen of those over my life. So they don't happen every week or month, and sometimes not every year. But this one certainly came into my heart, and it was this statement that in God there is always more. And in God there is always more. And you know, as I started to think about that statement at that time, I said, Lord, was that you? You know, that kind of came from nowhere. Is that you? And over the next month, it was highlighted. I was in Brisbane for one weekend. This is quite a while ago. And the words on the lips of a person who was doing something on stage said, God is the God of more. And I thought, oh, Lord. And he confirmed it again and again that month. And I thought, Father, why are you telling me this now? I kind of know that, but what do you mean? And so I saw, and over these, I suppose, last decades, we've seen the growth in the life of this church. We've seen many, many, many people come to Jesus. And I think that's the kind of more he's talking about. I'm thinking God's talking about the expansion of his kingdom across this earth. You may see a world that is in crisis at the moment, and certainly in some continents more than others. But I want to tell you, God is doing more than he's ever done. Well, not that he's doing more. He always wants to do more. But there is things happening more in the kingdom of God than ever before. More people are coming to Christ. More of his kingdom is being expanded. God's working on many hearts and lives. More. And as I started to look even here, I saw the growth within our church over these years, and we've seen many come to Christ. And around that, not long after that time, there was plans put down for this building. And for those of us who remember the building, this was the building we used to be in, but it was too small for us. It was cramped on a Sunday. And you know what? So we put down some plans. And those plans sat on the wall for many years, waiting for us for the right moment, I gather. And then, of course, in 2020, there was a world epidemic called COVID. And in the regards to our church, it was far from a negative moment in time. It was an incredibly powerful and positive time, because it was right then is when we gutted this building and renovated it and turned it around and made more room. And it was amazing, wasn't it? The timing. I just, for those of us who weren't here, I think it was a divine moment that God, you know, after so many years we had those plans in our hearts, bang, it happened. And it happened so quickly. You know, God is the God of suddenlies, isn't he? And so as I started to think about that, I said, Father, you are so good. God, who would ever think that when the world is struggling, you bring blessing out of that? You know, there is, and doesn't God say that? He makes rivers in the desert. In the most driest times in life, it's amazing how God can draw something out and bring such flow of life and blessing in those moments. And so we saw that, I suppose, in 2020. And of course, I couldn't, you know, I never had the imagination or thought to think out that God could actually, we could do the renovation in the midst of a crisis across the world. I never imagined that. But then again, maybe I should have read God's word a little bit more, because Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who was able to do what? Immeasurably more than we could ever imagine or ask. More than we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us. According to what works within you, he'll work more of his amazing things, attributes in our lives. More. I could never imagine what God can do. I can only look back now and go, wow, that was you, God. I went to a wedding this weekend, as you know, and at that wedding they had these instant Polaroid cameras. You know the ones where you take a picture, someone takes your picture and the photo folds out, it comes out, you know, and you sit there going like this. Do you know the ones I mean? Yeah, righto. And then after about 10 seconds, it's developed within your eyes and you go, looks good. Or it doesn't look good, so you do another one. But I want to tell you that sometimes in life, when you're in the midst of the struggle, you don't see what God's doing, or you don't see it, but months, weeks, whatever later, it's like you go, now I can see it. And I believe that God wants to do that in your life. And at the end of the year, you'll go, now I can see what was happening. Or at the end of your situation, you'll go, or struggle, and go, God, you were developing something. God is the God of more. So I want to just talk on that this morning. The very nature of God is to do more amazing things. And God's thoughts towards you are so many that they can't be counted. Let me read to you Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more. What are they? Come on, would you say it? They are more than can be numbered. More. God thinks about you more than you realize. He wants you to have good things more than you realize. He's got more for you more than you realize. I love that. And then God wants to supply our needs more than we realize, possibly. Matthew 6:30. Now, if God, who so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much what? More clothe you, O you of little faith. Oh, what a challenge. He's not saying that we haven't got any faith. He just wants to bring more of your faith to the forefront. He wants to enhance your, he wants to grow your faith. And he wants to supply our needs. What a wonderful God we have. I want to speak to you this morning about the God's more for your life. And as I look back over my life, I see where God's provision has come. And I've had those moments. And I see how God has become at a particular time, he's provided more. And I didn't see it at the time, but he was doing something more. I want to draw our attention to a well-known passage in Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. Jesus was in the early ministry and he's picking his disciples, so to speak. And he goes down to the Sea of Galilee. It's sometimes mentioned the Lake of Gennesaret. That's another terminology for it. But this is the Sea of Galilee. And it just says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, let me read to you some verses and we'll jump off from there. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him, which is the Lake of Galilee, crowding around him, notice that, listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, and one belonging to Simon and Peter, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I've never been on a fishing trip like that. I wouldn't mind going on a fishing trip. Not that the boat would sink, but catching fish like that. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So you'll be fishers of, in New King James, it says fishers of men, which is generic for men and women. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Here's the first thing I just want to share about the God of the more, is believing for God's more for your life, you'll have to resist a settled mindset. You have to resist the settled mindset. Jesus is a great example of that in this passage. He's been preaching, you know, we think in this passage, if you don't read it carefully, you'll think Jesus was in the boat preaching. No, he was preaching well before he got into Simon Peter's boat. He was on the shore, the Sea of Galilee is behind him, and maybe he started with about 20 or 30 people, and then the crowd grows and grows and grows, and as it grows, Jesus is kind of stepping back as they're coming in closer. He's stepping back. Why is he stepping back? Because he's trying to be able to project his voice to everybody, because the crowd's getting quite big now. Maybe hundreds of people are now gathered. They've heard about the miracle worker. Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee. He's sharing. Come on, everybody. All that area. It was probably around Capernaum. That was Jesus' hometown in a sense, because Peter had a fishing house there. And probably when he was there, he probably stayed in Peter's house. So it's probably in that area up in the northwestern corner of the Lake of Galilee. And Jesus is getting crowded by people and they're flocking to, and he's stepping back and he's realizing, you know, any further and I'm going to get my feet wet here. I don't want to do that. And I love at this moment that Jesus didn't say, well, that's enough. I'll pack it up. I've done what I had to do. This is just getting a little bit too crowded. I'll take this up another day in another location where we can have more room. And he did. He did, because he went to the Mount of Olives. Sorry, not the Mount of Olives, the Mount of the Sermon on the Mount, remember, on the side of Galilee. And this time Jesus wasn't, the water wasn't in the back. The water was in front so that, you know, he could have plenty of room to speak to people. But in this moment, Jesus didn't give up. This was probably a very successful morning. Hundreds of people are probably gathered. And he's saying, well, he didn't say, well, this has been a successful preaching outlet or moment. I'll just pack it up now. I don't want to get wet. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He looked around for another opportunity to continue, because it wasn't about success. It wasn't about how popular he was. It was about him fulfilling his father and sharing his father's words to the people. And so what does he do? He says, Simon, can I jump in your boat? And we put it out a little bit. Can you appreciate people aren't willing to walk out necessarily into the water? So they all stood on the shoreline. Maybe he's out about 5 or 6 meters and he has more opportunity then to preach more of his father's word to them. I love that Jesus didn't give up with the success he had. He kept on going. because it wasn't about his success. His success wasn't the end point to say, well, that was good enough. That's been a good day. No, he resisted because it wasn't the success that motivated him. It was proclaiming his father's message to the people that was important. And thus he looked for an answer to finish what he'd begun. And I want to tell you, you've got to continue on. There's more that God has for you. I don't want us to settle. I don't know if it's to say, well, this is nice. I've become a Christian. That's good enough. No, there's more. There's the God of more. He's got more for you. More of more that he wants you to do. More ministry. More out there yourself, sharing the good news of Jesus, whatever it may be. More for his kingdom. More service in the house of God, whatever it may be. He has more. To become settled can be a dangerous place. You know that? Because when we become settled, we're not looking for anything else. This is enough. And I'm not talking about being satisfied, not talking about being thankful for what you have, but I'm just saying there's more to life. You know, you may say, well, you know, I'm 45, I'm getting old. No, you're not. You're just beginning. Come on, I don't know what, don't become settled. You know, some people say, well, when I get married, you know, and you get married and you think, now I'm right, I'm good, got it all. No. It's just the beginning. There's more that God's got for you. Or when I get that job and you get that job, don't become settled. There's more. And it's not a greedy thing, folks. It's not a dissatisfied thing I'm talking about. It's a thing of just saying, God, I'm going to focus because God is the God of more. Not for our selfish purposes, not because we need more, but because it's his kingdom that wants to expand. He's got more. You're not convinced. There's more of him work of his working in our lives. Do you know David, King David and King Solomon, David's son, had much success? Amazing kings over the nation of Israel and Judah. Amazing kings. But you know what? They settled. And they lost their vision a little bit, and they went off the boil. And if you read it, and then they were not as good as their end was not as good as their beginning. And we, you know, we got to be aware of that. It's not that God didn't honor them and bless them in the latter years of their life. But you know what the truth is? It was, I think there could have been more for them, but they settled a little bit. And you know what? We can't glory in what God has already done. We can't glory in what God's done in this church or other churches or whatever it is, but let's not stop there. There's much more to do for God's kingdom. And that involves more service in the life of people being stepping up, more being involved in service. That involves more people being one to Jesus. That involves more of his kingdom coming. That involves you personally, maybe in your personal life. It's just not this church vision, but the personal life. You see more things you get to be accomplished, maybe in your family, maybe in your personal life. I don't know what it is, but God's got more. He's never someone who settles back and puts his feet up and says, well, that's it. I've kind of completed. No, until the day of Jesus Christ's return. And even after that, there'll always be more that God has for us. And God's not a greedy God. God just wants to see the kingdom of God expanded. He's not satisfied. So let me remind you today that in your life and in your family, God has more for you. Ephesians 2:9, however, as it is written, it says in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It's difficult to grab, but God's got more. Okay, second thing, very important. Believing for the more in God shows faith in the character of God. You know, the very character of God is for more. We've been talking about the attributes of God, and this kind of works in with that series, but the truth is that believing for more in God shows we have faith in the very character of God. When you expect more from God, you are showing that your understanding and belief is in the God of the more. If we were to look at this passage I was reading, Peter was tired. He'd fished all night. and caught nothing. He was disappointed having caught nothing. He didn't know it at the time, but he was about to experience the God of the more. And as he pushed out again into the deep water in obedience to Jesus' request, he saw how God's character is not limited character, but a character that always looks to do over and beyond what we could ever think of or imagine. And so Peter's catch of fish was expensive and it was extraordinary. It was miracle territory, really. I mean, Peter had just been out there just an hour earlier and caught nothing. So much so that the boat they were in was in danger of sinking. Wow. Please understand, you may say, oh, well, God overdone it. Too much more. No. Please understand, it wasn't too much. It was just more than the boat could handle. And sometimes the boat was too small for the more of God. And I want to say in a way that is a reflective sometimes of what God does in our lives. We feel that, you know, even in Peter's life, maybe it was reflective of Peter's mindset, because what did he had caught nothing, and so he would have been thinking, you want me to go back out there again? I didn't catch anything all night. I didn't catch anything. You want me to go back out again? Okay, at your word, I'll go back out again. He had no mindset for more. And that kind of the boat size was a bit reflective of Peter's mind size. It was pretty small. And I want to say to you, you need to see that God's more. You got to break out of that and see the character of God is more. And when we do, we start to think about what he could do, the possibilities. Who doesn't want to dream about new things happening, good things happening, not selfish things, not these things for us, but his purpose and his kingdom? I mean, who doesn't want to? Who doesn't want to dream about what God could possibly do in that person we've been praying for years? I do. I think about my family members who need to come to Christ. I just visit two of my sisters, and I'm always thinking, Father, just draw them to you before they pass from this life. There's more. And Peter's mindset was like his boat, too small. I don't want your mindset to be that way, too small. Our mindsets can be that we don't have an understanding of the very character of God because our understanding of God is too small. You know, Abraham, God said to Abraham, remember back in the Old Testament, Genesis, God said to Abraham, look up. What for? Look at the stars. He said, count them. He says, I can't count them. There's too many. He says, exactly, that's your descendants. The only thing God could give a visual reference to in regards to Abraham's future was the stars in the sky. And Abraham would have looked up and literally millions and millions and millions of stars. And God was saying, there's going to be millions and millions of people would come from your loins, Abraham. Your family will be massive. We're a part of literally Abraham's family. There's billions of people in the world in his family. Stop looking down, Abraham. See the stars. And you know what? Abraham actually called God El Shaddai. You know what El means? El means the God of. And then El Shaddai means Almighty. The God of Almighty, the Almighty God. So Almighty God is with all his power and with all his resources. That's why he's a God of more. And you know, I love the other thought. If you go back to the original Hebrew, the meaning of El Shaddai, and please grasp this in the context that I give it, but it means many-breasted one. And you know, you could look at the goddess of Artemis, and the Greeks made this goddess many-breasted one. Not about to show you pictures or anything, but I'm just trying to illustrate a point here, okay? And the reality is that they were just a counterfeit because God was the many-breasted one in the not literally, but in a sense, because God has an abundant supply of nurture for anything we need. He's a nurturing God, and he has a supply that is more than we could think or imagine. Why is God more? Many breasts because he has joy and peace. And let me just throw it in there, something very literal, finance, anointing, power, healing, all of those things. Now we're not, when I say finance, we're not a God of some, you know, oh, you got to have this money. No. We're not some hyper-faith church about finance. I'm just saying God is a provider. That's all I'm saying. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Other translations say, when they say full, they say abundantly. What abundantly means is it means quantity and quality of life. See, the devil subtracts, God always adds. And that's why Jesus came. And when he came, he showed us a lot of miracles. I mean, if you were to think of the miracle of the wedding of Cana, the first miracle, apparently it says it was it was the first miracle Jesus. And you know the story. The wedding party had drank all the wine, and it would have been a great embarrassment to the young couple if they were to have run out of wine. It was, you know, culturally a no-no. And so Jesus was asked, can you do something? And Jesus takes six big jars, average, if you look at the facts, about 100 litres each, about that, so 600 litres of wine. That's a fair bit of wine, would you agree? Remember, this wine was, let me give it in context, this wine was produced at the near the end of the wedding, not at the beginning. Why would Jesus, why would he produce it near the end? Well, I think he had a great compassion on the young couple. But more than any, the other thing that I want you to see is he's the God of abundance, isn't he? Goes over and beyond. Fills the boats with fishes so they nearly sink. 600 litres plus of wine. Do you know that young couple could then take that wine and probably sell it? And it would be a wonderful financial blessing and increase at the start of their marriage. Oh, I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out there. He's seeking to show that he's more than enough. And wine represents, if you look in Scripture, it represents the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. Wine speaks of who doesn't want more of the Holy Spirit, more joy, more peace. He's the God of more. You know, when you understand who God is, then you can understand what God does. You know what I'm talking about. So remember the prodigal son, and this thought is really important. Remember the prodigal son story. Have you seen that the prodigal son was in poverty and scarcity? Remember, he was the one who said to his father, give me my inheritance. I've had enough. I'm looking for a better lifestyle. He didn't find a better lifestyle. He wasted his father's inheritance and ended up in a mess and ended up wasting it to the point where he was in poverty. He was in scarcity. He had nothing left. He was hungry, starving to death, quite literally. Feeding pigs for a Jewish boy was a no-no. But anyway, so what does he say to himself? He says, wait a minute. My father's servant has more. My father's servant, it actually says that, more than enough in Scripture. My father's servants have more than enough, let alone the sons. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I'll just be a servant. And what was what we see is the son remembers the generosity and he took steps back to his father that led to his needs being met. His father blessed him, gave him more than he had before, looked after him again, embraced him, showed him forgiveness and grace for his stupid acts. I'm thankful for a God, but can you see the point? What did the young man, when he was in scarcity and poverty, he remembered his father's character is generous and he went back there. Would you remember that you have an incredibly generous and God, a Heavenly Father that wants to just look after you abundantly and bless you, and as you run into him, it's amazing what he might do. Stop walking away from him, run into him. And so the prodigal son remembered the character of his father. I tell you what, when you realize God's character is the God of more, it shows faith in his character and his willingness to supply all our needs according to his riches in heaven. It shows faith in him. We need to understand the character of God. When we do, we'll understand him and then we'll understand what he does. Here's the third thing, and we'll finish with this. Believing for God, more in God, is resisting what I've just already mentioned, a scarcity mindset. A lot of people sometimes say, I haven't got enough. Don't have enough time, don't have enough joy, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough opportunity. You can put whatever you want in there. I don't have enough. Sometimes this is a mindset, and it's just a mindset, but it's not a reality. If we just thought about it for a moment, you'll probably find it's just that thought wants to take you in that direction. You actually become what you think on. Because as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. And you can say, well, I've never seen this God of more. It's maybe because you just keep on thinking about what you haven't got. Over my life, in my marriage, and Michelle and I, we've always been thankful for what we have got. And we've sought to never think we have enough, but at the same, we never sought to settle, but we always seemed to just have enough, I should say, and that we didn't need to be envious of what others had, and we didn't at those moments in our lives. And what we didn't have, we were just thankful for what we had. We didn't allow that we haven't got enough. I mean, we lived in a house and the wind blew through the floorboards. It was on stumps. Come on, well, maybe some of us have been there, you know, when you're first married. You're just happy to be married. You don't care what you live in. Well, you do, kind of, but you know. The wind used to blow so much through the floorboards that I remember Gabrielle, our first little girl, in winter we used to dress her up like a Michelin man, you know, these puffy jackets, and she'd sit in the lounge room. This was inside our house. But we were thankful. We didn't see ourselves. We thought we just had enough. God, you've just given us enough. We've got enough. The fact that we had a house was a good thing. We felt blessed. It's always, but there was always room for more. God, we just trust you for the more. But at the moment, we're thankful for what we've got. See, we have seen God pour into our laps. I think both of us, financial provision, and then as we've been blessed, we've poured it back out. And we keep on, he pours in, we pour it out, he pours in, we pour it out. And I sometimes never would have imagined where we could be today. I never would imagine that as a new dad, as a 28-year-old. But I see God, and it's just simply, and one of the great keys, I think, is realizing not to have a mindset that I haven't got enough, but having a mindset, I'm just thankful for what I've got. And it's amazing when you're thankful and you're faithful with the little, how much God will give you more, so you can then show yourself faithful with that. Come on. All the time, God was building our faith and receiving blessing. We were receiving blessing line upon line so we could properly handle his provision. And I'm so grateful. I think what God does is he just gives us a little bit more sometimes, and he just sees how you go. Don't let ego, pride, or self-righteousness well up on the inside you. Just keep a humble heart. Say, thank you, God. I'm just thankful, God. And it's amazing how he just takes you on this wonderful journey. Come on. It all starts with not having a scarcity mentality, but a thankful mentality in every season. When we look at Peter in this story, he was astonished at the catch of fish that day. I would have been astonished at the catch of fish that day. Well, Peter's first, what did Peter do? Peter done a couple things. First of all, he repented for his sinful life. If God's blessing on your life takes you into the ego realm, that's a bad way to go. But if it takes you into the humble realm and say, Father, I'm just thankful. I repent. I am a sinful man, God. How could you want me in your team? That was like Peter's attitude. It's simply because he just said, Father, all that I have and all that I am ultimately is yours. And so Peter repented. But then he done a second thing. He left all and followed Jesus from that day on. Why did he follow Jesus? Because he just witnessed the God of more providing in an astonishing way. And Peter started following the God of the more. And before Jesus came along that day, Peter was following the God of, I don't know what God he was following, but he was following the mindset of disappointment. I mean, as we said, fished all night, no fish. He's disappointed. He's hungry. When Jesus found him, disappointed, hungry, probably a little upset about life, tired, got to wash his nets. And now this preacher wants me to push out. He was quite happy for him to push out a couple meters and preach from his boat. But then when Jesus wanted to take it a little further, you know, when God asked something of you, so, well, I'll do the possible, but, you know, you want me to go back out there again? I'm tired. I've had enough of this. But, you know, that's when we push through. Come on. For the more of God, sometimes it takes a bit of effort, a bit of sweat, a bit of commitment, a bit of faith. Do you know, when they renovated this building, the men and women who worked in it, they didn't sit back and say, well, God, it's your building, you do it. No, there was commitment, I tell you. ripping the carpet up, changing walls, painting, everything. There was some sweat of the brow. But, you know, as we got the sweat of the brow, the miracle started to unfold and God started to bring people to Jesus more than we've seen before. You know what? God was doing something. You know, it takes that. And Peter experienced, he was living in a scarcity mindset, I think, in some ways. I don't want to go back out there and there's nothing out there. I fished all night. Jesus says, go out again. He goes out again. It, you know, sometimes we do it with a grudge. Okay, I'll follow you, God. I'll be obedient. Oh, and then God does something. Isn't it good how God still blesses us with your bad attitude still? Jesus showed him he's the God of incredible abundance, and he turned Peter's disappointment into a place of abundance. And some of you may have a place of disappointment. You know what? God wants to take you back to the place of disappointment where there was no fish hours earlier, but when you go back, there'll be fish, and he wants to make it a place of abundance. And he wants you, and you're going to have to get the boat and push it, row it out there again. It's going to take a big commitment, isn't it? Having a fixation that will on not having enough is going to take you that very direction. You won't have enough. But having an understanding of the God of more. I want to say, never bring your faith and vision down to the level of your experience. I'll say it again. Never bring your faith in God and your vision and dreams down to the level of your experience, because sometimes your experience is way down here. Well, this is all I've experienced. Can I ever lift above that? No. This is what you need. Bring your experience up to the level of God's word to you today. His word is he's the God of more. I want to encourage us today. This is not some, as I said, some message that just wants to tickle your ears and say, oh, that's nice, that's nice. No. God wants you to step up into all that he has for you, your family, for the body of Christ, for this church. Not just this church. I mean, there's other great churches in our city. Praise God. There's plenty of room. There's many people to be won to Jesus. That's the way I see it. But, you know, it's his kingdom. His kingdom be expanded. Him be the glory. Can we get a, you know what we're going to do right now? We're just going to share communion together. And I'm going to invite the team up as we close today. But just going to take a moment, because the greatest act on God's part for humanity, the greatest act of grace, the greatest act of mercy, the greatest act of sacrifice, I don't know, you know, would have to be what Jesus Christ did. And when you look in regards to more, it says in Romans 5:20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. There's a separate message in that first part of that verse. But the second part of the verse says, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much what? More. Why is grace abound much more? Because there was the Son of God who was willing to go the extra mile for humanity, hey? Remember, he was in the garden and he said, before he was crucified, he said, Father, if it's possible, your will would be done to take this cup from me, the cup of suffering. But then he said, your will be done, not mine. So there was moments when Jesus, oh, I know what I'm going to go through. He faced the reality of that, the pain of that, but he went through with it. He was obedient. There was incredible more than we could ever imagine. I don't know if you and I can truly grasp in a moment how much God has done for us through his Son Jesus. But I pray this morning as we just pause, just see the more of Jesus Christ and how much he gave for us. Incredible grace, incredible mercy, incredible kindness, the forgiveness of sins. And you know, the blood, the cross still stands and the blood still flows for today, doesn't it? It's not done away with. It still flows forgiveness for today. And we celebrate that. Jesus actually was at the last meal with his disciples in Matthew 26, and he says, while they were eating, so they're having a meal, Jesus changed the mood of the room. And he said, just wait a second. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. So you can imagine they've been eating already, but now Jesus does it again. He does it again. Thank you, Clay. And he kind of changed the mood. It was probably around a meal with a bunch of guys. You know what it'd be like? All laughs and, you know, patting each other. If it was an Aussie meal, it'd be a barbecue and it'd be steak and sausages and all that type of stuff. And, you know, no salad. Who wants salad when you, you know, anyway. But, you know, and then someone steps up in the barbecue and says, I got something we need to really address here. And everybody's face goes, okay, special moment right now. And Jesus, you know, would have broken a sausage and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And they would have been going, what? What's that mean? Later on, they understood, because Jesus literally, his body was broken as they put a sword in his side, pierced his hands, pierced his feet, and he died on a cross for humanity. And then he says, and then after they'd eaten the bread, he then had another solemn moment. He took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Drink from it, all of you. Not just one or two of you. All of you, would you drink from it? Just wait a second. All of you? That was included. That included Peter, what was Peter? He was the guy who denied Jesus, the denier. Even Thomas, the doubter. All of you. Maybe you're here today, a little bit of doubt about God. You know, he wants to include you in his kingdom. And even Judas, who betrayed him, it was all of them, wasn't it? All of them. He says, drink all of it. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the promise, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of what? Sins. There we go. Forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ gave his all. He gave his all. God gave more than enough. Jesus was the more. Can we stand today? I want us just today for a moment contemplate the reality of the God of more showed himself through the Son of more. Jesus gave liberally everything he had his whole life. And then, of course, 3 days later, he rose again victorious. And that was always the plan. And thus, that was a sign to us that we too can rise from the dead. In other words, not literally from, but we will die. But you know what? There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, a new body. That'll be a great day, won't it? Whether Jesus returns before we all pass away or he doesn't. At the moment, we all will end up in the same place, which is great. If we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into our hearts and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we can know that promise. And that promise, that covenant of hope and help that he had to us. So today, let me just pray. Father, we thank you today for what you've done for us. We thank you, Father God, that through your Son Jesus, the forgiveness of sins and his body that was literally torn apart for us and his blood that was shed from his body, flowed from his body, flowed to us. So there was life in that blood. Life was taken from him only for a couple days, and then life was given back. And life can be given to us as we receive and accept forgiveness and mercy and receive his life into our lives. And right now we just take and remember what you said. Remember, do this in remembrance, Lord, so we remember you and what you've done. We can't walk away from the gospel message of Jesus' salvation, death, and resurrection. If we walk away from that, Lord, we walk away from our faith. And so we remind ourselves that the core message is what you did for us, Jesus. And we're thankful today. Come on, let's eat and drink in remembrance of him right now. Come on, you just spend a moment just being thankful. Thanking Him, thanking Him, thanking Him, thanking Him. Salvation, we have wholeness, healing, help, encouragement. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father. This morning you've never responded or committed your life to Lord Jesus Christ. That might be you today, or you need to come back to Him. Let me just pray a prayer. It's a prayer I'll pray, but you know, I want to give you an example, because it just says in God's Word, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the best way that we seem to know how to do it is just a simple prayer of that's sincere. And it'll go like this. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you what Jesus you did for me. I repent of my sin and I turn from my ways. And I ask you now and I receive your forgiveness. And I ask you to help me. And I confess with my mouth that I believe in you. And I believe, Jesus, what you did when you died and rose so that I could be forgiven. And I thank you. Receive me now as your child in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that's the prayer you need to make, please. It's the most wonderful prayer you'll ever utter. It's just, and it doesn't have to be exactly like that, but it's a prayer from the heart of response to Jesus. And some of you need to do that. Some of us resist. And we think, I'm right by myself. No, God, you won't be. You need to accept and receive him. I don't apologize for that because it's the truth. Amen. Have a great day, church. Encourage someone today, that'd be brilliant. Okay.